Joining me now on the line is Jordan Netburn. Jordan is a portfolio manager and managing director for Axiom Capital Management in New York City. Jordan, welcome to the Frank Roach Show.
How you doing, Frank? Great to be with you and your listeners.
Oh, thank you very much for joining us. We don't often get experts from New York City on the show, Jordan, so we're really looking forward to this. And I got a lot of gold bugs out there listening to us.
It's good to hear.
Jordan, you are in the precious metals world. Why don't you give us a quick update in the start of the new year? Everyone's paying attention to equities, doing a good job out of the gate. What's happening in precious metals so far in the year?
Well, precious metals are climbing very quietly, a little bit under the radar. I guess a little of fanfare has been stolen by the equity market's early advance. But they seem to be improving as some of the more risk-on type assets have garnered a bid in the last few weeks. January was a good month for equities, and February continued. We had a little bit of a sloppy sell-off on Friday, but it's been kind of slow and steady sailing. Silver finished out the year around $28 and has risen to about $33 and change per ounce, and gold finished out around 17. Let's call it about 1572 for the 2011 and closed Friday around 1723. The cash market's about 1722 right now. So definitely a steady uptick. Typically what you'll find is that silver is a higher beta metal. It'll move.
Jordan, give us a little quick definite. What do you mean by beta metal?
Well, silver will have usually twice the move that
twice
gold
the move.
Has.
Okay.
So on the upside, gold will tend to move slow and steady, and silver will follow and usually move twice to the upside, and the same is true on the downside.
Jordan, do they have the VIX, the volatility index? Do they have a VIX for precious metals?
To my knowledge, no.
No. How do you guys judge volatility in the precious metals world? Well, is it important?
I think if we watch the closing markets after hours, the London fixing, and just keep an eye overall on currency and gold markets, there's kind of a relationship where there's a correlation. Last year, for a lot of the year, the normal relationship would be if the dollar was up, gold and silver would be down, and vice versa. We do see that correlation change. That correlation is true of broader commodities as well.
Gotcha. Jordan, there are a lot of precious metals. Normally we talk gold and silver, but tell us about some of the more important precious metals there are on the planet that are in part of the industrial underpinnings of our economy.
Well, certainly palladium makes a big difference, platinum as well. I think it always gets back to gold and silver nowadays because the historical background is that gold and silver are the ultimate money, and I think the concern, which is a genuine one around the world, not just the country, is that all the printing that's going on of money, paper-based currencies, or what we call fiat-based currencies, like the dollar, there is a growing maybe distrust, as well as the same time there's an argument for a movement towards pushing currencies back onto a gold-based standard. So gold seems to get the number one nod, but silver seems to be very close behind. But nickel, copper, all important. In fact, by tracking the price of copper, we can usually get a good barometer as to how the economy is doing and how the overall growth is going worldwide.
Nice little nugget of information there. Thank you for that one, Jordan. Jordan, I often say on the show that gold is the ultimate speculative vehicle. Now, you just referenced, of course, the correlation between uncertainty about paper money and gold. But is it an ultimate speculative asset?
I don't think so. I think that it's like anything else. There's always a population of people that have bought something at the wrong time, whether it's real estate, gold, commodities in general. But I would say that gold belongs in everybody's portfolio. If you turn the clock back to the first quarter of last year, first quarter gold and silver were really the only game in town. They got off to a roaring start, and as the volatility started to whip up through the middle of the year, second, third quarter, there were a lot, the listeners and yourself remember, there were a lot of hedge fund liquidations that caused just a big liquidation in assets worldwide. But to get back to the original question, I don't see it as a speculative vehicle. Rather, I see it as probably a new currency. Even if it doesn't get enacted to back a currency, it seems to be something that is more preferable for other sovereign nations to deal in. There are murmurs, if it's not in fact happening already, of other areas like Iran dealing in oil. but being paid in gold instead of U.S. dollars. So it is that pertinent.
Gotcha. I'm speaking with Jordan Netburn. He is a senior portfolio manager and managing director for Axiom Capital Management in New York City. Jordan, some of the vehicles we can trade gold would include ETFs. Tell us about the ETF market with respect to gold. Is that the best place for a retail investor to get involved in gold?
It's an excellent question, Frank. The answer is there's not just one good way, but that's certainly an easy and quick way. There are what we call power shares. The power shares for gold trade on the exchange under the ticker symbol DGL, David George Larry, and the silver power share would be David Boy Sam. And what you'll find is if an investor buys these ETFs, they will mimic the price of silver and gold almost to the penny. There's also another gold iShare, GLD, that is a tenth of the price of bullion, so will track almost completely in line with the price of bullion. So those are probably the quick and fast ways for an entry. There is merit towards also having physical gold. If you've probably noticed, I'm sure the listeners have noticed, there are many, many more people dealing in gold, and you hear about it a lot more.
Well, I know there's a lot of pawn shop activity, Jordan.
There's certainly. In fact, I had to talk my aunt out of selling some of the jewelry a couple of months ago. So, I insist.
And by the way, they got a nice spread, too, those pawn shop guys.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they're only too happy. So, listeners out there, don't sell your stuff to those people. That's nothing against the pawn shop. But I think if you can find a reputable dealer, there's absolutely nothing wrong with holding some physical gold.
Well, let me take you on that point there. Would you judge, maybe you have this data, I don't know if this data is available, I've not been able to discover it, what percentage of people that trade in gold actually take delivery of gold?
That's an excellent question as well. It's a tough one. You've got a lot of speculative players in that market. There was a problem in the silver market, just to digress for one second, over the course of last year during the big silver sell-off, there was a big feeling out there that the clearing agent could not make delivery on the gold that was supposed to be held versus paper assets and the paper shares. So to answer your question, I don't think a lot of them do. I think at this point in time they don't. The interesting question would be, and that's where your question is that much more important, is what would happen if those contracts were forced to delivery. Let's say we had some type of world crisis, let's say world war, and all of a sudden some of the people that own these contracts wanted to take delivery. I'm wondering just who holds the cards and actually who holds the metal and who will be able to deliver. So I would say relatively very little in terms of what could be.
Right, and of course we haven't even talked about shipping costs. That stuff weighs a lot of pounds.
It does.
Hey, listen, on this vein you just brought us to here, Jordan, tell us, is there some scenario in the precious metals markets related to what might happen if Israel does attack Iran's nuclear capability in the next few months, like some people are speculating?
I think there always is. It seems to
me. What would be the reaction? Is it instant buy gold? Is it because sell gold because people are going to rush to dollars? What might be the scenario?
You know, it's interesting. I think the jury's still out on the currency. Our currency, the dollar, has obviously done an awful lot better over the last year, basically because we're considered less ugly by the world.
Right, everything's relative.
Right, than Europe. But I do feel that every time there is some teetering and some unseen event, there seems to be a bid beneath gold. So I think now that some of the bigger hedge fund players got flushed out of the market, witness John Paulson's big drawdown last year.
Right, and John Paulson's a big fund manager. He got beat up in precious metals, right?
Yeah, he had a banner year the year before, and he wrote a letter apologizing to shareholders for being down, I think, about 42% last year.
Okay.
So these are not for the faint of heart. They do trade like commodities. But to answer your question, Frank, I would think there's no question that if something like that were to happen, we'd initially at least see a spike in the price of gold. The markets rarely move to accommodate what we believe is going to happen, but gold and silver, especially gold, seem to be garnering that bid as a more certain type of honest currency, as it were.
Okay. Jordan, just a couple more questions. I'll get you out of here. You can enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Do we see any – now, financial markets are supposed to be discounters of future events, future information. Do we see an indication in precious metals related to Israel that something might be happening sooner than later?
That's another great question. It seems like the market has already built in – an expectation that it is going to be Israel that handles this. And whether or not that happens is another story that remains to be seen. But I think the firming in the price might have something to do with that.
Okay.
We've only seen the risk on assets start to get bid up over the last few weeks. I don't see any major calamitous expression of angst, but I think this is something that's obviously being bandied about. I would think other commodities like crude oil would also see a spike, but I think it's not being reflected on its full potential. In fact, to go beyond the war question for a second, there are those that are saying if we monetized the financial system, that gold would have to see $4,000 to $7,000 an ounce.
Ouch.
Just as a starting point.
Okay, well, let's hope you're long gold. All right, last question for you, Jordan.
Sure.
Are you familiar with Glenn Beck?
I am.
Okay. You've been in the financial markets a long time. You're familiar with the laws regulating how we can perform in financial markets, insider trading stuff, pumping your own book, spreading rumors and information. This guy, Glenn Beck, he's got his own radio show 5 days a week. He owns gold, and he gets to pump gold every single day in his favor. What's the deal with that, man? Shouldn't that be illegal?
Yeah, I guess he's kind of dealing in a gray area. clearly, and one thing that
could you do that with your positions?
You know, I would never, for instance, if I knew I was going to be on today and talk about gold, I would never have amassed a big position in gold beforehand.
Gotcha.
I've been a gold bull since about $350, $400 an ounce.
Nice for you, buddy. Nice being rich, huh?
Well, it's more just seeing what's been done and kind of having an idea of what the financial system was going through and seeing the mortgage market at the beginning stages of what was atrophying. And throughout history, gold and silver have been the ultimate money. And a very wise money manager once told me to know your history. And I read up a lot about the Weimar Republic, which unfortunately, eerily, some of the things going on resemble right now. And it made me feel more inclined to at least get knowledgeable and then get invested. So.
And now you're a senior portfolio manager, so that gold position served you well.
It has done very well. I can't complain about it.
All right, buddy, we got to leave it there for now. I want to thank you so much for joining me. We got some great expert insight here in the Raleigh, North Carolina area in precious metals, and we'll get you on again.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for letting me be here.
Thanks, Jordan. Okay, that's Jordan Netburn, Senior Portfolio Manager, Managing Director, Axiom Capital Management, New York City. Got to jump.